and Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 9th on the West Coast, now June the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central time zones. Well, lots of interesting things going on. Oh, man, I got to listen to some excerpts of a very interesting radio show this evening. And then on came the slanderous, defamatory comments from a self-admitted mind-controlled MK-Ultra CIA operative. And it was amazing how many people that I personally know who are truth-tellers were attacked by this individual. We won't even mention the person's name. It's really not worth it, other than to just recognize the fact that we are over the target, and so we are going to get flack. And it seems to be time for character assassination. We've been reporting the truth. I have to tell you, in my journalism, I have done a tremendous amount of research and a lot of fact-digging, a lot of dot-connecting, and I'm not manufacturing this stuff. The documents are out there. They're out there for anyone. You can find them if you have the energy and the persistence to look for them. You can figure this out yourself. This is certainly not something that's just available to me. I just happen to have maybe been chosen to be one of those seriously investigating and looking for these things with the capacity of connecting the dots. And it seems like no one wants to dispute the facts that we bring out. They want to cast aspersions on the character of those that do the research, those that bring forth the research, whether it's via a radio show like this, a talk show, or via the written word. Fabricating stories to impugn the character of the messenger because they can't attack the message. Now what happens the next stage is we win. The next stage is we win. Interesting piece of information that came out today. It's come out on a couple of shows. I got to hear the live clip on Drew Malone Raines, A Marine's Disquisition. Was a little bit hard to understand, but I could make out the gist of what was being said. And there's an admission on a radio show where an individual who worked for the state of Hawaii, by the way, I find that kind of interesting because the people who are now it sounds like we've got our guest. I'm getting an echo. Okay. Anyway, he's there. The people who are indigenous to Hawaii claim that Hawaii is a sovereign kingdom and it was never rightfully made a state. It certainly wasn't voted upon by the people of Hawaii. So there's a dispute there, and we have the same issue in Ohio, by the way, despite what we're taught. So there's a lot of hoodwinking going on, and just because an organized crime figure steps forward and says, well, I passed this law, therefore you have to do what I'm telling you you have to do because I'm now the king. Or Sieg Heil, I'm the dictator of this overthrown republic, and now it's a democracy. Really, that's another word for a dictatorship, a communist dictatorship, for that matter. But anyway, I'm rambling a bit, but with reason. There is evidence from an individual who worked for the state of Hawaii that the short-legged Mac Daddy, who goes by several names and with a multiplicity of used, worn-out, floor model social security numbers. Barack Hussein Obama is one of the names. Barry Sotoro is another. And I give him the name Barry Rockefeller. Maybe we should call him Barry Cleo Rockefeller. I think that would be more appropriate because that would give us a better fix on the DNA line. Nonetheless, there's an individual that claims that he worked in the official office that actually cataloged all this information about Hawaii in the chief elections clerk office for the city and county of Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, Dr. Atruat has posted this article on his website, atruat.wordpress.com. I've written about this. This is old information, really, folks. I've told you there is no birth certificate. What he's saying, what this chief elections clerk in Honolulu is saying, is that he supervised a staff of 50 people and had access to the database to verify documents such as birth certificates and the places of birth of the various candidates who were running for office in the state of Hawaii or on a national level. And he says that there is no birth certificate whatsoever, no long-form birth certificate, which is properly called the Certificate of Live Birth, which is signed by a doctor. It's got information such as weight, the length of the baby. None of that is on this document, you see, that Obama has presented. It's as though no real baby was there. When you look it might as well be a package of or a box of onions being shipped via the mail. It's that obscure. So this individual in Hawaii has made the statement that unequivocally Barack Obama was not born in Hawaii. And I wrote that several years ago. I wrote that. And I've been harping on that and coming out with updates to the article. It's a serial article called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, found at my website, directlightproductions.com. And it's been there for a long time. Parts 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, A, and 7B detail all of what I'm talking about in great detail. I've also heard recently some comments made by Mr. A.C. Griffith, and you would think he's read my research or he's been listening to the show or just following a similar research path, but I'm in tremendous agreement with what he's deducing about a number of issues, particularly who this guy is and who he is not. Basically, I've proven to some satisfaction to a lot of people who he is, that he was likely just a DNA experiment done in a test tube and brought out to be this insensitive robotic figure that responds only to a teleprompter and lobster at the Waldorf Astoria for lunch. So we're talking about some pretty expensive lobster. If you ever seen the prices at the Waldorf, they're outrageous just for a grilled tomato. And that's going back 30 years. I can tell you that firsthand. So and I'm this isn't about slamming the Waldorf Astoria. I'm just telling you that you have somebody who is really usurping the office and the fringe benefits and really taking advantage of them in a rather obscene way. This is someone who has been determined not to have a birth certificate whatsoever, which is what I've been saying on shows. The documents are phony. The pictures are phony. If there was a real document, it would have been produced. It's a simple matter. It doesn't require spending $2 million to present that. But a real document or a real photograph. Now, I've done the genealogy on the Bush clan. I've done the genealogy on the McCain clan, Obama, and the Dunhams, and also there is corroboration of my take on Stanley Ann Dunham also. Now, I stopped short of calling her a presidential model because I don't consider her model material at all. But then again, I don't consider many of the presidents that we've had presidential material, so I guess it's appropriate. It really doesn't matter one way or the other. But new evidence is coming out, and again, Dr. H. Ruott pointed that out yesterday on his show and on Drew Rain's show earlier today, that Stanley Ann Dunham has been involved with the pornography industry for quite some time in her early days. Now, people were speculating as to the dates of certain nude photos that were taken of her, and I had not published those because I was already dealing with a low quality, a low vibrational level of information in the nature of the topic I was covering. And I didn't want to debase it any further. What was significant about those pornography photos that were stamped, one photo was stamped with a website, freevintageporn.com, and it had a serial number, YA-438, which led to my discovery of a shipload of spies that were sent to the United States. And they were trained by Russians and Yugoslavs. Now, DynCorp is also a Serbian company, and it's taken on various, let's say, tentacles of an octopus over the past few years. Again, Dr. Ott and I exposed DynCorp. We exposed the American Police Force group that was trying to move into Hardin, Montana. Lots of interesting things happening there. We covered that. We covered Fort Hood. We covered the swine flu pandemic. And we covered many, many other issues, these false flag events at Virginia Tech as well. Have you ever seen so many false flag events? Back to back to back to back. And we're getting confirmation that we're right on the money. These stories now are being proven to be true. There is also a credible individual at the University of Western Kentucky, and he is actually presenting some more information along the lines of this breaking story about no birth certificate in the state of Hawaii. You see, if he had this, it wouldn't be required to pass a resolution that he was born there. And they did this in the Congress and the Senate after Obama and Hillary Clinton themselves passed a similar resolution to allow the illegal John Sidney McCain, a.k.a. John McCann, to be declared an American citizen. This doesn't have to happen. If I went before Congress to testify about my research, I wouldn't have to prove to them I was an American. They damn well know I am. And nobody has to pass a resolution to declare me one, nor likely most of my listening audience in the United States, those of American citizenship. So we're going to be covering this more in upcoming days, but I thought it warranted a few minutes. Now, there is another aspect of a big cover-up going on, and tonight's guest is here to talk to us about that. This is a multi-pronged event that's occurring, and we are going to be presenting some multi-pronged solutions. My guest has been on Evident Footprints before and many other shows, be it Alex Jones, Coast to Coast AM. He's been on A Marine's Disquisition with Drew Malone Raines, my good friend, a former U.S. Marine. And also, he has been a frequent guest, weekly guest, on The Story Behind the Story with Dr. A. Truat. My good friend, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Castle, are you with us? Now, all that buildup, and I'm not hearing Dr. Castle. Dr. Castle, can you hear me? And if you can, there's a chat window there that you can type a message at the bottom, like yes or no. I'm just not getting any response. Well, we'll try one more time. I think what I'm going to do here, I'm going to leave a message for Don. If you can hear me, Don Newsom, I'm going to leave a message for you to contact Dr. Castle another way, and we're going to try to bring him on the air that way, because there's definitely a problem occurring with the usual communication system that we use. Not on our end. I'm seeing it as on his end. So I'm going to give you a number, and I hope you can contact him at this number. If I can type it out here. Okay, here we go. So, Don, if you're hearing me, okay, he is. I'm getting a notice he's hearing me. Evidently, now, Dr. Castle, I need you to hang up your Skype if you would do that, please. If you can hear me, if you can hear me. Oh, we'll get him to do it if we can get him on the phone. Anyway, Dr. Castle has been a chemtrail opposition researcher. He's written a number of papers on that issue and a few others.
Yes, I've Don.
Okay, are you back with me now?
Hey, Don.
Okay, I can hear you now. Now, I need you to, if you're near your computer, I need you to close your Skype window on your end. In other words, you hit hang up. It's the best way for you to do that. Don't hang up your phone, though. Okay, now are you still with us, Dr. Castle? Now maybe he had to step away. Okay, well, he'll be back here any moment. I'm sure this is live radio, folks. This does happen. Okay, Dr. Castle, can you hear me? Are you with us?
Don.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. I don't know what it is. Weird. About as weird as this day is. I can definitely hear myself echo, so I don't know what it is, but it's I'm here. I'm on the air. Normal connectivity problems, yes.
Okay. Maybe Don can make a slight adjustment on his end to clear up your echo problem. What I was asking you to do was to close your Skype window, just hang up the call that I made to you.
Yes.
You answered, but I couldn't hear anything, and I didn't even know if you could hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Now, I can't hear you on the telephone.
Yeah, okay. You can hear me on the telephone?
Cannot.
Oh, well, you're responding to me, so you have to be able to hear me.
Well, I've got the radio on.
Oh, you're listening on the radio. Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening at a 0.7 seconds delay?
Okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to hang up your Skype. There's a hang-up button on that. Okay, it's a red button. Click that button so it hangs up, and I'll call you back on Skype.
All right.
Okay, can we do that? Okay, folks, we're trying that now. We're going to try patching him in again.
That.
You also have to hang up the phone, too, because you're only going to be able to talk on one or the other. Okay, now your Skype is ringing. Okay, he's answered. Let's see if he can respond. Can you hear me, Dr. Castle? Okay, that's not working. Okay, now, oh my goodness, talk about cover-ups.
How about if he just talks about it on the phone again? Call me on the phone again.
Okay, I'll have Don do that. Don, is there any particular way you want to connect with Dr. Castle? And Dr. Castle, you got to hang up your Skype again. Okay, we'll try the phone again. So if you can try that number one more time. It's a strange night. Very strange night. Okay, we're waiting for Dr. Castle to pop up here any moment.
I am here.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Don.
Yes, can you hear me, Dr. Castle? Okay, for some reason, Don Newsom, we have a delay on the phone line, which is very unusual because we usually don't have that.
Right.
We can usually talk in real time.
Do you have a read on me, Don?
No. Do I have a read on you?
I don't even know if I'm talking to you. It's one of those, like I said, it's a very bizarre day. So I think if we, in fact, go ahead and get our cadence back right, you know, do that little skip of the left foot there, get the cadence back in, we can go ahead and do the show. But no, I don't know what the problem is. I don't have any problems doing any other radio shows. But nothing seems to work. But that's okay. We'll climb the next mountain, okay?
Yeah. Now, are you still hearing a delay in my voice? Or
no. No. You're good.
I'm okay now. Okay.
We're okay now.
All right. I know we've been having these problems all day. I've heard this on a couple of other shows.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
I'm told that it all sounds perfect right now, so don't change your voice. And
don't change a thing, Garfield says.
Well, I had this big buildup I gave you here.
I heard it. Oh, man, that was something. And I just kept wanting to throw in, hey, you know, you was talking about all those communists and all that stuff and that great big boatload and that big spies or anything. I've got a prediction. I think one of these days we're going to find that Commandant Allen of the U.S. Coast Guard also came over on that same boat.
Oh, you would be surprised what you will find when you begin to look.
Because his twin brother must have been the one up there in South Dakota Montana, the head of that guy driving that big old SUV around. Remember the one, the head Wapajama or whoever he was? I mean, it's classic. They are twins. I forget the guy's name. But he looks just like Alan. And yeah, I've got a problem with Alan, a really serious problem. And by the way, I was in the U.S. Coast Guard when I was young, not the Marines. That was Drew Raines, Marines. So anyways, no, the Coast Guard, in fact, is something that I knew a lot about. And as I've told you before, I think it was on your show, I don't recognize any of these people. I've seen enough of it that to know that Lubrichov, what's her name, the head of NOAA, she's also, in fact, probably the daughter of somebody that came over on that same boat, because these people aren't really American. If you just take Commandant Allen, for instance, he's violated every canon of his commission, and in that of the U.S. Coast Guard, to, in fact, to be forever ready, always ready. Ready for what? He does nothing more than read really just terrible, just ugly, ugly reports from BP. That's all that man does. And gets on the TV set. In fact, chortles the same thing, that they're working on it. Pardon me, but you know, Commandant, you have got to be the most absolute embarrassment to the U.S. Coast Guard that I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Step down, you're not fooling anybody, I'll tell you that. And does it take a personal nature? Yeah. I see you got that thing in your head there, just looked like the one Gorbachev's got, and I got my eye on you, because I don't know where you came from.
Yeah, I talked to a guy once, I knew a musician, a sax player, Steve was his name, that's all I'll share with the listeners. And he had a big birthmark on the side of his face. And one of the guys in the band asked him, you know, what's that big mark on your face, man? You know, he said, my mother was scared by an elephant when she was pregnant with me. and I've had that mark ever since. Now, I think that's what you're referring to on Gorbachev, but the big question is, what scared his mother?
Well, I mean, I've seen those patterned images. I mean, in a world of insanity, why not be talking about, like, marks and what's on your head? But see, there's part of the illusion that the people are just normal. I mean, that guy could have had a horn up there or something, and that was what was left over. I don't know. But in fact, it's been proven that that thing on Gorbachev's head, whatever kind of melanoma that must be, I'm not certain. But anyways, it definitely has the pattern of sixes there. Now, I didn't get a real good close look at this Commander Allen, but never mind that when you go to look for somebody's record, and in fact, you don't find much. And then they have this catastrophe, and just like puff the magic dragon. He just puffs out of nowhere. And he's appointed by the White House to command and control this spill. And, you know, he's yet to do anything. Nothing. The Corps of Engineers, they have yet to do anything. They've done nothing. And all the while, all these people down in the Bayou country, I can't say I know them, but I know somebody that does, and that's Drew Malone Raines. I've talked to a couple of them. One gentleman called me on the phone. I've still got some work to do for him. I've got a design to send him. And he's going, in fact, see what he can round up, but, you know, nothing comes free, and I understand that. But they've been lied to, Don. They've been lied to every step of the way by even people that they thought they could trust right within their communities. And, in fact, they've all just, like, turned against these people. And these people are terrified. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be? It's almost like they're a different race of beings, completely. And I don't think that's far from the truth.
I don't know that I'd be terrified. I certainly would be ticked off about it.
They're terrified. There's a lot of people that are terrified. I mean, and we can see that. I call it a form of insanity. Anyways, that's my look. It's not a rant, but I wanted to put that message out about who the Coast Guard really is. And whom, in fact, they're supposed to be, in fact, doing something for in rescue and always ready. And I see none of that. I see none of that.
Did you not serve in the Coast Guard yourself at one point?
The U.S. Coast Guard. I went into the U.S. Coast Guard. That was my senior trip, man. I mean, that was Vietnam heydays. And it's either me get into the U.S. Coast Guard or go to Vietnam. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in fact, decided I didn't want to go to Vietnam, and I know a lot of my classmates did, Dave Broomball. I mean, yeah, they all went. A lot of them came back. A lot of them didn't. But, in fact, I served in the U.S. Coast Guard. I went in 1967, the very year Drew Malone Raines went into the U.S. Coast, went into the Marines. So, and that's when I went in. And October 5th, 1967, he plays all the songs that was really good at that time. We used to listen down at the USO. But this was 1967. I went, in fact, I turned 18 in Cape May, New Jersey, in U.S. Coast Guard boot camp. Oh, what an experience that was, turning 18. You know, that wasn't what I had in mind, but that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in there. I was in the Coast Guard, and, in fact, what I ended up doing after my initial active duty tour, in fact, was to report to the captain of the port, Cincinnati, Ohio. And so then we ran down in small boats we had and so on and so forth, go down to Markland Dam and guard it against Vietnamese. I guess, you know, never made much sense to me, but there was a lot of things that we were involved with, but at the same time, my older brother's in the Coast Guard as well, and he served on the Ohio River, and he was a good cook, too. But that was our tours of duty, and we did serve our time in support. But when it came to who was the U.S. Coast Guard, I was very proud to wear that white shield on my right arm. Someone always said, oh, yeah, you're in the Navy? No. And they looked down my arm and said, oh, you got bird crap on it. You're in the Coast Guard. Okay. So anyways, you know, that was fun to be proud of that. So anyways, that lasted a long time in my life about that particular passion to rescue something. And I still have that passion, Don. And you know what the good Lord blessed me with? He blessed me with all kinds of gifts and talents, primarily in the area of inventing things and polymer chemistry. I'm a good polymer chemist. And I cut my teeth formulating things every day and understanding things that had benzene rings in them. And then I set out way back when, back in the late 60s, in fact, to convert all those rubber to metal bonding agents that I, in fact, had come across and started to work on and develop. I converted those into water because I didn't like benzene, didn't like toluene, didn't like all them organic solvents. I mean, the stuff was toxic. Well, anyways, water base. So through the years, in fact, I end up developing these polymers that, in fact, just by arranging them in a certain configuration, that when you put these on crude oil, gasoline, diesel fuel, fuel oil, aviation jet fuel, pick a fuel, and I'll give you one or two products that, in fact, will solidify them. You just put it on top of it, and it solidifies it. It wraps up and encapsulates every bit of the benzenes and all the other aromatics completely. PNAs, PAHs, and all the other toxic known carcinogens that are in crude oil, let alone all the other oils. Okay, it wraps it up and encapsulates it. It cannot evolve or leach into the water anymore. It locks the benzenes up because the benzene is water-soluble. So that's what it does. And then you lift it out of the water, and you transport it somewhere that you can, in fact, reprocess at a later date, or you can ship it via coal car to a power plant that burns coal, and you can get about over 30,000 BTU out of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Castle, I hate to interrupt you, but we have a caller on the line, which is
all right,
quite infrequent, and we have John in Chicago. So, John, your question for Dr. Mike Castle.
Actually, I wanted to ask you both a question. Did you see Conspiracy Con 10 yet? Any of the speakers there?
Are you talking about this year?
Yeah, it was this. It was last weekend. I just want to make an. You know who Dr. Bill Deagle is?
Yes, I do. I know him very well. So does Dr.
Okay,
Cass.
Okay. Well, I want to make you, Don. You know how to go down the rabbit trail. You know how to go down the rabbit hole. I mean, okay. Dr. Deagle, I believe, announced that he was Elijah the prophet. And the reason why I'm bringing this to your radio show is if you see the video of Conspiracy Con 10, okay, he takes from the scripture Malachi 10:6 and says, I am this one. So you know how to go down the rabbit hole. Could you check his lineage to see if his if he is truly Cohen of Jewish descent, and look into this subject and see if it's possible that what he stated is true?
Well, I've heard.
I know this. This sounds crazy, and if you cut me off, I'm sorry, but that's
I'm not going to cut you off, John. I'm asking, first of all, is that question for me or for Dr. Castle? Number one.
I'm asking you to research his lineage and to verify if he truly is Cohen, which is a nationality of Hebrew descent. He claims that he is a descendant of Moses and that he is Elijah. Dr.
John.
William Deagle.
Yeah, I understand him to be of Lebanese descent, so this is in conflict with what I know, first of all, from things I've heard him say or things I've read about him. I've heard some other rather off-the-wall comments about those that have approached him to play certain spiritual roles in the future, and I can't speak for him. He's told me personally what those things were, and to tell you the truth, I want nothing to do with those things. So if you can't wing it in the body that you're traveling in right now, I don't know.
Well, Don, I got a question for John.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure, sir.
John, what difference would it make whether he is or isn't?
Well, I've listened to his radio shows for the last 5 years.
We all have. But what difference would it make? In this theater of chaos and catastrophe, what difference would that possibly make right now, sir?
Well, he would be a witness to say, hey, we need to do A, B, and C to protect ourselves from the coming disasters. And if you think this whale volcano is destructive. This is just nothing compared to what the Bible talks about. And I would think both of you gentlemen would agree with that.
Well, there's a pathway that we're all on. And what we're trying to do, Don, myself, Dr. Ott, and I know Bill Daigle, many of us, Drew Rain, there's just so many. Jeff Renz, I mean, and Alex Jones, yeah. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to divert in this pathway. And that's what we have to do.
Well,
so
then maybe my question
should be, focus our attention on certain individuals, because right now, certain individuals don't really matter.
Oh, I agree completely. But I question you both, and I ask you, maybe I should restate my question, do you think it's a possibility, if you go and watch the video of his presentation, which was, to my consideration, pretty amazing, that maybe there may be some truth to what he says, investigate it, and please give us your opinion on it. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, I watched last year's conspiracy conference, and actually Dr. Daigle cited my research, recommended people take a look at it.
Don, you've been on a show, haven't you? At least one.
Yeah, I've been on a show before. Originally, I was a caller like you, and after a time, I got my own show. I was invited to many shows on RBN and many other Patriot networks. And there came a time when I had much more to say, and it was time to bring out my research. That's when I started my own show. I've had him on my show, too. And
he's also been on
my show. So, you know, these are facts. I'm not impugning
him.
Well,
I'm sorry to stir up the apple cart, gentlemen, and you can get back to what you were talking about. But I just wanted this to get out. And the one man that knows how to go down the rabbit hole is Don Nikoloff. And if this is worthy of you investigating, I'd like to see if you could do it. Because we do need to know if we are in the end time. So if Elijah is here, and then we can receive his blessings and his words from the Most High God.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, John. Before you go, let me just say that I've been encouraging people to do their own discernment along these lines. I could start a business, I suppose, just looking up things for people. And I'm not trying to downplay what you're asking me to do. I am working on some other things right now, and that would take some time. Why don't you do some discernment on your own? Certainly.
This conference was finished over the weekend, and I've done some research. I've been learning to go down the rabbit hole, such as yourself. And it's quite possible that he is psychotic and crazy, but...
Well, we all are.
But after listening to, like, let's say, Rush Limbaugh for 6 weeks, you know, or yourself, or any other broadcaster, you learn to develop an understanding of their personality. And I see no fault in his, sir. And that's all I'm saying. And when you get the time, if you could look into his lineage, that would help a lot in proving his assertion of who he is.
Well, a couple of other people were accused of doing this. I know Cliff High from Half Past Human was accused of having gone down the investigative rabbit hole looking into personal issues in his life. And I'm not going to do that, number one. I have respect for Dr. Daigle's medical wisdom and his experience. When it gets into areas where I'm a bit more qualified to comment on my gut feeling about certain things, a person can present themselves as a prophet. I'm very intuitive, and a lot of people know that and respect me for that, and that's reflected in my work. My intuition will tell me personally whether or not that message resounds as a true one. And I don't have to really go out and tell people what I think about that, because you all have that same ability if you use it. That's what I'm talking about. Is claiming you.
Well, I feel the same way. I can sense that you are intuitive. I can just tell. And Mike, I mean, you guys are just amazing. But I won't take any more of your time. Let me get you back to your discussion, and I want to thank you for a wonderful evening.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Do call again. Yeah, Dr. Castle, what I was basically saying, and I think you understood where I was going with that, is we all can do that to some extent. We depend so much on everyone else doing it for us that we don't really claim our own power.
Well,
I think you
gave excellent advisory, Don, because that is exactly correct, in my opinion, because if you have that much capacity for someone, I know Dr. Deagle, been on his show many, many times, and we did develop a good friendship. Even I was on his show when he's up in Nova Scotia. This was back in 2003, 2004. It's a long time ago. Well, I developed a certain capability of being able to talk to him. He'd be driving around Nova Scotia on his cell phone, and I'd be talking to him. We'd be talking about things that don't exist even in this galaxy. They exist somewhere else. And I never had done that before. So just knowing what he told me and what his capabilities were, yes, I was amazed. But then again, it never reduced him in my mind to anything but just a normal man. Is he psychotic and crazy because of the way he says things? As I said, we all are. If he's doing that, we're all guilty of that, crazy and psychotic. And if you haven't been called crazy and psychotic, then you're not normal right now.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Anyways, so much for that. But I do want to, in fact, go on with what I was saying about the talents of developing things. And I developed this material that will do just what I said it will do. Lots of people, in fact, looked at it. We are getting some donations, monies in, and we are still planning to go. Because if you don't have a place that you're planning on going, then you'll never get there. So we're still forging in that direction. There's a couple of different points that might come together. There's got to be some human decency out there because, ladies and gentlemen, what we need right now is just the money. We're not in love with the money, and this is just a mere pittance, but we're going to try to save the marshes, the wetlands, the estuaries, and the river fronts, and those places there, the shorelines, for the pristine beaches and the curves. Yeah, we're going to do everything we can, but we're going to focus on those people that live there in the Cajuns countries and the bayous. We're going to focus on that. They're going to help. And, in fact, we're going to show them how they can protect these things if the oil starts coming that way. That's exactly what needs to be done. Then we're going to, in fact, go down through these areas with aerial assistance, dropping this AmeriHaz material. And, in fact, it was when it contacts the oil, the slick, or whatever remnants or residues might be on the surface of it, it will start encapsulating it. We go back through there with some of those shrimp boats. As I stick to the same plan, Don. The shrimp boats are not going to be using their nets for a long time. We will give them new nets when we get done with this. And shall I say, BP will pay for them, but not directly. You're going to get them, you'll get new nets. But we're going to use their nets and their skills with motorboats and how to, in fact, to collect this stuff and start pushing it up to a discharge barge, in fact, which conveys the stuff off to the shore for further disposal or whatever needs to be done. But we work that from the shorelines out. We're going to go all the way down past Gulfport, Mississippi, on to Pensacola. We're going to go all the way around the Cape, down to the Cape of Florida, just having three or four of these simple processing plants, which essentially rolls this material in a great big cylinder, rolls them together, and in fact we just use the material handling of insulation blowers, goes into super sacks, and they're going to be transported by people like Bobby and his truck, his transport trucks, down to the airfield, in fact, where they're going to have possibly Huey Marine aircraft sitting and waiting, or possibly C-130s. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say it once and once again. No, we're not asking, because asking is over with. Everyone that represents anybody that is, in fact, doing anything for this United States at the Gulf of Mexico does not exist. Every single one of them are in the fascist mode, especially the U.S. Coast Guard, in a military fascist mode, and in fact, that man needs to just get the hell out of the way. They need to appoint that admiral, that vice admiral, as the commandant of the Coast Guard, because I watched him in the hearings. He doesn't like what's going on. He needs to step up. And the other one needs to step down and go somewhere. Go back to wherever you came from, Alan. You're not welcome here because you failed. You failed us miserably. But it's the number and thousands of species of plants and animals that have perished because you decided to do what you've done. Nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Dr. Castle, I want to let the listeners know that we're actually talking to a few groups who are interested in doing something about this. Now, we hear a lot of rhetoric, we hear promises, and we have asked folks on our own, we've asked folks to contribute to a fund that you have set up under a company name, and the purpose is to buy the products for producing additional quantities of AmeriHaz. There's going to be a tremendous amount of product that is going to be required to clean this up. And I had the simple idea a couple of weeks ago to just ask people to send in a dollar. It's not going to break the bank for anybody, and if it makes you feel good helping some worthy cause, this is one that can save the whole planet. The implications of this oil spreading around the world through the seas is going to really throw this whole planet off base.
It's imminent.
Into a tailspin.
Right, and that is imminent, not probable.
Yes. Yes. So I wanted to give out that address for that, that anyone who feels that they want to send in a dollar, or if they're capable of sending in more. And you can't even buy a cup of coffee for a dollar, folks. So think about this.
And I would encourage them to put all the zeros they could on the end of that thing, because we certainly need it. And, Don, that's the only thing that we do need, unfortunately. That's the only thing we need is the money. That's the only thing that we can get to where we want to go with this, of course, unfortunately.
Yes. So that address is Castle Concepts AmeriHaz, AmeriHaz, one word, 1933 East Dublin Granville Road. Dublin Granville is hyphenated. Number 171, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. I'll give that one more time now, a little bit faster. Castle Concepts dash AmeriHaz, second line, 1933 East Dublin Granville Road, number 171, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. Give whatever you can, folks. This is for the purchase of the materials to manufacture the quantities of AmeriHaz that we need to send down there to the Gulf. This is very, very important that we do this. Now, Dr. Castle, I listened to two radio shows last night. In fact, I've been getting email all day and all night from folks out there, listeners and readers at my site. There was an interview last night with was on the Veritas radio show. This is Mel Fabregas. He interviewed James Fox, a journalist who went down to the Gulf area, and actually he went to Grand Isle, Louisiana, mm-hmm. and described what was going on there. They were paying off the fishermen. They had already paid them off and basically made them employees of the oil company and just had them sitting on their thumbs, not giving them anything to do. And these guys are really going crazy and questioning what's going on, because the problem seems to be getting worse. And, of course, what we're hearing in the mainstream media, we're not being told the truth about what's happening. It's they were arresting reporters down there. course, James Fox was concerned that he might get arrested, and we wanted to give out his name just for the sake of letting them know that we're aware that this man is trying to do something about this. People call up the various community bureaucracies to find out what's going on, and they get hung up on. Many talk show hosts I know, including Drew Raines, has had a lot of difficulty getting in touch with people because he knows he's going to give them hell when he calls in. He's going to lay it out like it really is. I got to thinking about the role that these oil companies are playing, in particular BP. And imagine going to a planet anywhere in this universe and being told that there's a few clowns that run a very incompetent oil company that are running the governments of the world.
And they got the unabashed help of their allies, which is Chevron, with all their bug choppers down there and all their mass carry. Yeah, Chevron down there. So, see, they've already got reinforcements. And that's, in fact, who's doing the reinforcement is the petroleum industry, their goons and their guards and their unions and so on and so forth, and they're just being paid. And if they step out of line, well, you have to deal with the unions, you have to deal with somebody in corporations somehow, and I tell you, these people just seem to be just very, very, very nasty. Very nasty humans. I know I'm not certain that they're even that, so... They're not.
I just did a pitch for some contributions, but all those people talk about is money. They're not talking about stopping this thing. They made a prediction that this was going to go on till August. This was broadcast on all the networks.
And as if when they say that, Don, as if it's like, now you might as well just go on home. It's going to be till August till we get some of this stuff done. And it's just like, and everybody falls for it. That's mm-hmm. what the monkey chimes on the TV, in fact, just continuously recite. Oh, it's going to be till August, you know. And they play that Delphi stuff on you. And that's what all the media does. They play that Delphi stuff on you. And it's like, well, you dumb humans, you just don't know any different. But there's so many of us out here awake. It's comical now to watch this. And when we do, most of us don't watch it anyways. But when we do, they're chiming it out. It's not going to be done till August. And we're out here screaming with our fingers waving in the air and everything else, shouting obscenities. I still am. I'm not going to put down my sword. We're going to get this done, and we're not asking. So, and Don, I appreciate it, sir. I appreciate it very much that your call for donations. But, you know, you said just $1. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's just money we're talking about, but add as many zeros to that if you would. I really believe that you'll be blessed in this world if you help what we're doing. This is not the defense fund, that environmental defense fund where somebody's sitting in an office somewhere and fun, the best computer screens and the best iPhones and the best this. They're sitting in there putting cash in their pocket from donations. Little kids are sending them in. That's not this. That's not what this is. We're not going to, in fact, task the emotions of these children, because if you have children, let them look at those animals that are on TV, which are a rarity, by the way. They don't put them on there very often anymore because it just upsets people too much, and me too. I cry when I see it. It breaks my heart when I see that. But that's what we're trying to do, is to save those animals, save those otters, save those species, those fishes. And all the places that they reproduce, those are the wetlands, the marshlands. And it's just like, hey, we can't go get to this till August, guys. And, you know, I read this thing about the engineers that Dr. Strahler over in, I forget what university he's with, but he's calling for all engineers to do this and to do that, and we're going to save the planet. And the only thing I would say is, well, you know, Mr. Dr. Strahler, I'm not speaking against you, and I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I hope you, in fact, don't also know that plumbers are somewhat of an engineer as well. How come you guys can't get that leak fixed? Were you asking? Why don't you just do something? That's exactly what we're planning on doing. We're not asking. We're just going to do something, because we're not going to get permission from these bunch of minions. Are these people, in fact, that calls themselves an oil company, we're not going to ask them if we can save this. We're just going to.
Yeah, and when I solicited contributions, of course, I'm making it easy on people. There are some 330 million people in this country, counting the probably 30 million illegal aliens, and they can certainly contribute money. They're here making money on handouts. We've done a few shows in the past weeks about an entrepreneur that passed away in Louisiana who was making $156,000 a year just having his various girlfriends give him babies. You know, these are the kind of things that are going on. Now, you think to yourself, well, there's 330 million people. Let somebody else give. Well, if everybody had that attitude, how much would come in? So, you know, if it touches you enough, if it means enough to you that you can have an impact on cleaning up this mess that we didn't create, none of us created it. And I'm contributing to the fund as well.
Don, there's one thing that just really nails me to my core. I mean, with all this other stuff going on, but in this theater of demise, this is what you were watching. That was my first paper, The Methodic Demise of Natural Earth, from 2003. Well, I couldn't imagine something like that ever going on, but then again, that's how things evolve, because we're on that pathway. But I just, I'm really, sort of reserved into thinking about a lot of things that could happen, but it's the protection of the species. Okay, we're going to try to save. We're going to try to rescue. But what about the rescue? Where are all the academia? Where are you people? Where are you biologists? Don't you care at all about this? Why aren't you down there taking at least two of everything that's down there and taking that preciousness and preserving it? You don't have to do it down there, but preserve this. Do something about an ark, people. All you biology students, all of you, if you have any compassion whatsoever for this world and its life forms besides yourself, please, please go down there and, in fact, learn which ones of these shall we preserve, because this is going to be, I can tell you, they're going to die of chronic, acute and chronic benzene poisoning, just for openers. But then that dispersant they're using, that in fact is going to foul up your reproductive system as well as these animals, whatever they may be, because of the surfactants that they use, their primary endocrine disruptors, and you know what that is. It's going to foul everything up. And then they got this solvent in there that just, it's a glycol ether. It's got target label organ warnings on every one of the canisters that this stuff is. That's 2-butoxyethanol. That's a glycol ether. You ever heard of that? Well, they used to put it in all the cleaners and stuff, and they found out just how toxic it was. But they got this in the water column because it's mostly miscible with water, along with another really nasty, which is a 9-moles ethylene oxide surfactant. And yeah, I'm the type of person, I understand this type of chemistry because I, in fact, formulated things. And in fact, I learned what their problems were with humans in exposure and animals and the fauna and the foliage. And I found out that 9-moles ethylene oxide, well, it makes a really good dish soap. I mean, you got Dawn, you got palm olive, and boy, you can just put that on an oil slick, and man, that sheen will just race back away from there like you punched a hole in a drum or something. But it just bunches the oil up on the side. It doesn't emulsify it. It just piles the oil up to one side. That does the same thing to when you're cleaning a bird or a furry animal with that same type of dish soap. That's what it is. That 9-moles ethylene oxide only agglomerates the material and shoves the heavy metals of the crude oil, which is there are many, right into the skin. It shoves it right into the upper epithelial cells of the animal, whether it's furry, whether it's human, doesn't make any difference if you use that to wash with. So, you know, you've got to change that. But that is also in that dispersant, along with other two super surfactants, which will kill the coral reefs as soon as it gets in the water column. The 9-moles ethylene oxide and the 2-butoxyethanol, when a fish that uses its gills to breathe, in fact, inhales that and breathes that through that water, it coats their gills and they die within an hour of smothering to death. They can't get any oxygen out of the water. It's smothered. It coats their gills. But you didn't know that. Well, well, no. Did you ever care what they'd done, in fact, to get this approved? There was no approvals. It will not pass the same toxicity testing that I had to pass in the protocols set forth by the EPA back then in 1997. 1997 with the fishes. No, if they, in fact, took this core exit, in fact, they don't even test it because they know that the fungus and the shrimp, in fact, will be dead within a half hour because of the toxicity of just the organic, the glycol ethers in it. And then they got kerosene. They got a great big old huge slug of a petroleum distillate in it. That smothers as well. But it's just these other chemicals that causes the toxicity that I believe, in conjunction with the benzene, is what's making people sick there. And it's really not a pretty picture, because it's more than just chronically being exposed to benzene. It's all these other maladies and infirmaries that are going to come with exposure, and it's going to be generational in animals and humans. So see, the EPA signed off on this. NOAA signed off on this. Apparently the administration and everybody signed off on this. They signed off on it. The Coast Guard signed off on this, knowing full good and well that the toxicity of that dispersant is 11 times more toxic than the oil.
Mm-hmm. And they call it dispersant instead of surfactant. And it's actually acting like a surfactant, causing the oil to go down to the seabed, it would be absorbed into the soil.
It breaks up the plume, if you will, into small macromolecular structure particles, and in fact, that's so it won't float anymore. It keeps its density because it's not going to float, but it's going to form this mycellular coating, if you will, around the outside, and this little particle is going to diffuse 1,000 times more benzene than if that particle of oil was still in the spill column. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because it strips off the column. In fact, you're stripping oil off of the exterior of the plume, but now it's in a jillion little pieces, and they're all, in fact, emitting the benzene in the water by solution. It's water soluble.
Yes.
So, in fact, it just increases exponentially the benzene toxicity of any place these plumes get, these underwater plumes get close to. And that's one of their, they think that we don't know that. And there's been how many people that, in fact, have went underwater, who have filmed that, who have said, no, it's just like this great big old, part motley colored, brown red snake, just maybe 25 feet under the water. It's there, and people, it's already went through the ring. It's all the way up the East Coast. Don't believe me, but if you don't believe me, go over and get somebody in just Jacksonville, Florida. Go out and take a water sample.
James Fox described that plume that was coming up, and this was just one that he mentioned, as being 20 miles long and a mile wide. And that's from the floor all the way up to the top. This is what's showing on the surface.
Right.
So, Dr. Castle, I wanted to take a moment, if it was all right with you, and play an audio clip. This is from the Sean Hannity radio show. I didn't get the exact date on this, but I guess it doesn't matter because it's if it was last week or next week, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter when you hear the caller. This is a person that seems to have an opinion on what we should be doing with our nation's problems. And there's a real issue with numbers here. And like in this oil catastrophe, where the numbers are being misrepresented all over the place, we have the same misrepresentation. I have to tell you, I don't often agree with Sean Hannity, but in this case, I do. With your permission, I'll play this couple of minutes clip here.
Well, please do. I think Sean's a pretty cool guy, but he says too many things that he's told to say.
Yes, exactly. Okay, here goes.
Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side, Joe, in Boca Raton. Welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. This, we have to have open...
Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
you're
to have...
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow, and now
well,
I'm...
Well, apparently they pulled from the lowest level of the gene pool from where you came from, that you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit, an upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's...
I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number. Okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money, and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
it
out.
I see. How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check.
What do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe.
No, I mean...
Wonderful. But I think there must be a correction here. Isn't that Michael Savage and not Sean Hannity?
You know, you might be right, but I thought it was Sean Hannity. Maybe it is Michael Savage.
No, I think it's Michael Savage. He's got a very distinctive voice. I like Michael Savage. I know he gets everything in a twit sometime, but don't we all?
Yes, that's correct. So I'm now as stupid as the person that was answering those questions.
You should have never been on this show. No, I'm kidding.
I should have never started my own show. Well, you hear the logic or the lack of logic. Just open the borders, let anybody come in. The illegal aliens are actually paying our way. 600 million people. Well, you know, if they have their way, yeah, they'll get it up to that number. But then again, you know, when I was listening to this in the very beginning, I knew this woman was living on welfare. I knew that was going to come up.
Well,
so, yeah, now that I think about it, that was Michael Savage. So I misspoke.
Right.
Thank you for correcting me. Nevertheless, well, I feel the same way about Michael Savage, too.
No, I've just given you the option.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, very emotionally charged talk we had again this evening. Had a caller that, you know, kind of went a different direction. But all in all, I just want to say and report to those out there that are kind of, you know, just they're just as determined as I am. They've got their hearts out there, too. Because they don't like to put them out there anymore because you can't trust anybody. I mean, it just gets whacked off every single time. Somebody hits you in the heart. I mean, just really disappoints you. And I know we're going to go through a lot of that, people, a lot. We've got a long ways to go, but we're not going to give in. We're going to help those people down there. I know they've been lied to. I mean, in so many ways, they've been lied to in the worst way. They've been paid to shut up. I mean, they've all been paid to shut up. Well, this is for your boat, and don't use it, nothing, you know, because it's dangerous out there, you know. Don't use it. Here's money, you know. But they've been paid to shut up, okay? This is America, ladies and gentlemen. It still is. Even though it seemed like it's gotten twisted to a point where nobody recognizes it anymore. But we know whom the enemies are. We know their minions. We know where they congregate. We know what they look like. We know how to keep out of their path of travel because they, in fact, are just like the gas. They're noxious. They're extremely dangerous because they're not really all humans. That's what Don's been trying to say all evening about the one that he elected to talk about in the very beginning, that being that lives in that White House. I don't talk about him. I don't speak his name. I don't listen to a word he has got to say, nor do I look at him.
Yeah.
Because there's something mesmeric that he does, and in fact, I just ignore him, and I hope he's listening. Because I can, in fact, ignore him every time I see that, because every word that comes out of his mouth is an untruth.
Well, he's flip-flopped and certainly exaggerated what he was going to do. He's not lived up to any of it, and you know, they can change that and blame it on the teleprompter, can't they? You know, well, I couldn't read the letters tonight. You know, they were kind of messed up there.
No, so I just, in fact, ignore that, and that's something that I choose not to contend with, not to deal with. I don't have to. But, in fact, there's a lot of people out there that are within those minions that have got to change and help us. Because they're not all in the vacuum of the Matrix yet. Almost. But they still have this heart. They still have this passion because they see the obscenity that's being perpetrated on everyone. Not just in America, ladies and gentlemen. It's everywhere. And then we have people overseas talking to us, like Dr. Angie Miranda in the Philippines. Talking to us, telling us that we know this is what they're doing. Here you get this coming from China, from the Philippines and Malaysia and Australia. And it is a real big world out there, you know, but we're talking. We got the best set of jungle drums I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to catch on to it yet, but we know how to communicate. And all we have to do, Don, is just keep doing what we're doing. Just keep pushing forward. Not get batted off of the thing by any individual, or not any promises of help, because if you search real simply with what somebody tells you, see where their money connection is. Because if they're doing this, in fact, and it involves money, you have to break away with it, because money is their god. They don't understand anything else. They're like insane about that. It's the lust for that money. That money, you know. And I've taken a totally different view of money in my life in just the last couple of years. I absolutely hate money. There's not many things in this world that I use that word with, but I will for the sign of the serpent. I hate that money. I wish we didn't have money. Like Bao Kui, they don't have money.
Or well, they don't have value, money. But they don't have this repressive system. There's there's sort of a universal system that's in place, and very equitable. So
certainly, because they don't worship it, they just use it.
Yes, and you know, they're into the
and here in this world,
infinite abundance
are just the exact opposite.
I'm sorry, we were talking over each other. I was saying
we were talking over each other. I'm sorry.
They're into the infinite abundance streams. They understand those basic universal principles about abundance and where it comes from, and that there is no lack. There is no shortage of anything except the idiocy that we have down here and the corruption, of course. They're very devoid of that.
Yeah, you know, I was just pointing out they use money and worship God, and themselves. They worship life, and they just use money. We're just exactly the opposite here on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah,
they worship the money, and in fact, they use all life as if there is an inexhaustible abundance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, fail to recognize where life came from. It came from the same place. It's on Balqui. It came from God, the Creator.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, before we go, Dr. Mike, I want to just add one more thing. I had the opportunity today to listen to the entire closing argument from the Columbia CIA trial that Dr. James David Manning held.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into a lot of really interesting points. Now, there was some information that came to him via a former KGB CIA agent who had also been used to infiltrate the FBI. And the guy's name is Mikhail Krizhanovsky. He had the underground name, the code name Filament. And he began working for the government in 1995 and was put into this position to basically train them on how to socialize America. Bill Clinton was responsible for this. He's definitely blamed by this individual with specifics. And, of course, there's a description about the role that the short-legged Mac Daddy played in the CIA, that he did not attend Columbia University. So we can presume then, by rote, that he didn't attend Harvard either. You don't get your doctorate without your master's. And they basically covered for him, saying that he went there. There wasn't one person they could find that recognized him as having been in a class or a student at Columbia University. That was a CIA cover story, nothing more. So this is pretty interesting. This has been out for some time, but I just had the opportunity to listen to it this morning, and I listened to the whole thing twice to make sure that I didn't miss anything. There really wasn't anything that surprised me because I had done so much research myself. Pastor Manning did make some rather salient points that I had also written about, and I specifically said that Obama didn't write his autobiography, and he made the same assertion, that there was no way that he wrote it, nor did the person who wrote it even get the story straight with him as to what they were going to say and what they weren't going to say, so that he knew the story. And I've caught him misquoting his age in public interviews. This was in the campaign, the presidential campaign. He was referring to himself as 48 years old and his mother a year older than she would have been. He described his mother's funeral and how he scattered ashes over the ocean, and I found her to be alive. And it's come out that she was a presidential model. Truot brought that information out.
I wonder who he scattered.
You know, but I also discussed these photos in my article. And then the KGB CIA connection, you see. It's all in my article. So the facts supporting my research and the voluminous document that I had to put together to communicate all this information is being corroborated now by information that's coming out. It's coming out in little dribbles, but this is the person that represented himself as a savior, as a messiah to this country, and he's destroying the whole world by what's going on down there in the Gulf. I bring these points out because this is the person that idiot that we listened to on the Michael Savage show we got a history lesson and a math lesson all in one. You know, this is the type of mentality that's destroying this nation, and that's a product of this country's educational system.
Well, it's also a product of the Matrix.
Yeah,
they've got
yeah.
they've got the Gwin Towers on full hum anymore, and most people don't know the difference. They don't know why they get agitated. They don't know why they get depressed, but they got drugs for that. They got other things that, in fact, that comfort foods, sweet drinks, all high fructose corn syrup or aspartame, mm-hmm. all the foods, in fact, all those are just enhance this biological energization of stimulation of the every cell in your body, but it's slowly killing you. The brain neurons and the whole shoot match are just going by the wayside. But no, just the implication of that particular being, in fact, being involved in all that stuff. My only question is to Pastor Manning. Pastor Manning, if you're listening, why don't you take the gloves off? Because this guy needs you got to quit being polite about this. I think you are, because I understood that you took a lot of your findings from your jury. In fact, didn't you take it to Eric Holder, the Attorney General?
I didn't, but I made the comment that if this were to go into a legitimate trial anywhere in the world, this person would be convicted for treason. For one thing, and a whole bunch of other charges.
Because why do you say legitimate?
Why do I say legitimate?
No, you said if this ever goes to a legitimate court trial anywhere in the world, was there something that wasn't legitimate about what Pastor Manning, in fact, had conducted?
No, Pastor Manning chose his own particular pathway in that regard. He focused on Columbia University and the CIA based on insider information he had gotten, and he's there in New York, and he is familiar with Columbia University. I focused on the whole story. There is not one particular element that I left out regarding the whole story, and I came to the same conclusions. I went about it a different way. You know, I learned in my Eisenhower research in the past few months that Eisenhower was allegedly the president of Columbia University for a five-year period. I mean, how do these things happen? How do these people juggle so many balls? You know?
No, I don't know. That's what amazes me about it, too. And as I've always said, I think they go forward in remote viewing, which we know they do, and they look back, and they look at this certain pathway that all of their handlers and their taskmasters have told them that they're supposed to do. And they plant all these things. They plant these things. They, in journals, they plant the stuff that becomes a pseudoscience. They put all this stuff there, you know, like fluoride and toothpaste and drinking water is good for you. See, they plant all this stuff. And then just by happenstance, it happens. And mm-hmm. we're still there. But see, that's how they guide everybody up these pathways, because it's causing a neurosis. It is a fluoride plaquing of the brain. I don't care if you're drinking water, tap water, or if you're taking any type of pharmaceutical drug. You're going to have fluoride plaquing in your brain. You will get dementia and or what they call Alzheimer's. You will get it if you're taking pharmaceutical drugs for any extended length of time. Now, you notice I didn't say, get off of them. Everybody's got to make their own mind up. But it keeps you just plastered. It keeps everyone in that unit plastered to that thing called the Matrix. It's a self-adhesive vacuum if you're taking pharmaceutical drugs, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm a chemist. I'm not a doc. I'm a chemist.
Well, I suppose I could go into the future and fulfill a wish. You know, I always wanted to be the night manager in a 7-Eleven.
Really?
You know, Hostess Twinkies.
Yeah, I can come in and say, hey, you got any fresh coffee?
We are bringing ding-dongs tomorrow. Don't move, please.
Well, so. I have to speak for my, when I got back to today, I have to speak for something that I walked in and looked on the counter and, to my surprise and possibly to my weakness, my wife had bought a box of those Krispy Kreme donuts. Oh, I mean, tell you, I bit on my finger one time, and I was jelly. I had to have one. So you can have your donuts, and I'll have mine.
I've had those before. They're very sugary.
Oh, very sugary. Yeah, I know. But I got the Strauss Heart Drops just after that. Take a shot of that garlic whiskey. Boom. That'll rinse all that grease out of there. So gotta have a little bit of pain with it. So.
I got Drew Raines chiming in. No, fresh coffee. How about fresh donuts, he said.
No. Hey, that's what I drank was good hot coffee. Good hot fresh coffee. And it's right, Drew, I can tell you right now, I mean, tell you, man, that was the whole nine yards, my friend. Krispy Kreme donuts and fresh black coffee. Mm-mm.
Oh, he says Southern made now. Louisiana
okay,
Southern made donuts.
You know what we're doing, Don? We're making a whole lot of people out there that are up late real hungry.
They're getting out their phone books right now. We'll see who delivers donuts and coffee in the middle of the night.
So, get a crave going here. What'd you guys do on the show? Oh, we got everybody craving donuts.
Yeah. Well, in my neck of the woods, since we're talking donuts, you have to try Hammond's Bakery. It's awesome, off-the-shelf stuff. They change the oil between every batch, okay? So,
wow.
You know, so. Oh, they're awesome. Just fantastic stuff.
Well, it's about like that hole in the ground down there in the Gulf of Mexico. Aren't they getting about a quart low on that oil? And plates are shifting. I heard what A.C. Griffith had to say, and that concurs with exactly what I said last week on Dr. H. Riot's show about there being, they drilled in the wrong place. They created this magma rift crack, and it's going west. And A.C. Griffith believes that, in fact, it's drilled into the core heart of the north-south intercept on that same area, but that's the New Madrid fault line. And that goes all the way up through the middle of the United States, bends around and goes up, and the crack, if in fact it does come apart, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring the waters of the Hudson Bay into and across most of the United States. That's what they're dealing with. And they're nothing but an oil company. Oil company's doing this.
Yeah,
and I keep screaming, stop drilling the relief wells. You're going to keep it cracking even more. But nobody does anything. I mean, the engineers are rustling and rattling, and they're going to do something. Stop these people from drilling those relief wells and get some engineers down there somehow or another that's got some submersible robotic or whatever capabilities. They got some skill sets, in fact, that they can put a cap on that thing. And I mean put a cap on it. Don't go telling me that, well, we tried this and we tried that. Put a cap on the thing.
Yeah, and this thing of predicting, well, you know, I remember in early May they were saying, well, they expect any day to have this problem resolved. And then they had these hearings going on in Washington, and everybody was blaming each other for it. And they were all pointing fingers at each other while they were pointing out the fact that they were pointing fingers at each other. You know, and then they said, one of the senators actually made the comment. Well, I hope you intend to do something about it, or maybe I misspoke. They were congressmen. But they said, I hope you at least get this handled within the next month or so. You know how they come up with these dates. Well, the oil companies. The day after they were professing to have tried to put a cap on this thing, we're now making the prediction that this was going to take until August. In other words, there hasn't been enough damage, so we're going to let this thing sort of simmer for a couple of months.
No information on, what are you going to be doing between now and then besides, what are you going to be doing? I mean, you know, this is probably the most serious thing that there possibly ever would have been on the face of this earth ever, because man done this, and man's the only one that can shut it off.
Yeah.
God can shut it off. There's no question about that. God can shut it off, and I'm certain he will, one way or the other.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Castle, I was pointing out that I had information that it was between 75,000 and 100,000 pounds per square inch of pressure coming out of that gusher. It basically, it's a geyser, underwater geyser. Now, they exaggerated and downplayed the amount of pressure coming out of there. And this is the oil company and, of course, the congressional hearings. It came out anywhere between 13,000 and 20,000 pounds per square inch. But you could tell by the ejection pattern that was visible by when they finally began releasing the underwater camera photos that it was more likely between 75,000 and 100,000 and probably nearly steady at 100,000. They've never, ever come close to that. And I heard A.C. Griffith mention basically the same thing.
Right.
That this was much, much worse than they were reporting, and that they were hiding the fact that there may have been another downline break. And I brought this out several nights ago, 5 to 6 miles away. In fact, I think it was last week I brought this out, that there's a second fracture that is leaking oil 5 to 6 miles from where the first leak is.
Right.
So they stopped that one. They've got another one they've got to work on. And there may be many more, that no one's being able to see.
Right.
Planes are not being allowed to fly over the area. No one's being allowed to photograph the planet. What is this? Is this the new God that came down in BP?
Yeah. Where did the word allow come from? Allow? These beings that are called BP, they all need to be taken down and arrested and put in prison somewhere. Keep them right down there in those parishes and their prisons and their jail cells. Keep them right down there. Let them smell that stuff every day, okay? Like you do, 24/7. And don't give them air conditioners either. And then all you engineers, you petroleum engineers out there, need to go and get on that rig and... because you're the only ones that know how to do what we need to get done, and that's to shut that down. Shut that entire system down and be able to cap it somehow, and don't give us no crap that you can't do this and you can't do that. You find a way. You're petroleum engineers. You'll think of something. In the meantime, we've got to get busy in trying to save some of this species that is still there, because... if it goes down, it's one-third of the entire subtropical and tropical ecosystem of the entire Earth. This is not just the Gulf of Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. This is the entire Earth. The oceans of the Earth are going to be fouled irreparably. You're going to have another layer of atmosphere, by the way. It's going to be a benzene cloud, and it's going to move around all around the place, like you're getting right now. Matter of fact, you're getting a benzene Corexit cloud because of the glycol ethers that are in there as well. And those condense, and they rain. Oh, people in Mississippi got all this crop damage and everything. Well, it got these spots. It's just like holes are burning them. Well, those are benzene clouds. This is what's condensing out of the atmosphere. It's raining oil. Yeah, that'll kill vegetation. It'll kill just as sure as it can, because it will, in fact, get poisoned by it. And when you can't grow food, any kind of food, because as soon as it gets rained on, well, the rain's almost like an acid. It's poison. So we've got to get these things under control. And ladies and gentlemen, those people that claim to be British Petroleum are not going to do it. They've, in fact, been instructed and paid very well, by the way, to not do anything. And they've got the minions, including the U.S. Coast Guard, NOAA, and the EPA, standing firmly behind him, making sure that all this stuff, in fact, remains as it is, and it will slowly die.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make, as Michael Savage says, didn't he say that hell is a place where there's no reason? What is this?
That's a good question. What is it?
I guess I could say, well, if this is hell, well, or this must be hell, because there's no reason here. There's no reason of saneness. There's no reason for this. There's no reason. Meanwhile, everybody walked to the cadence of this beat of, well, we can't do anything. Oh, we don't have any money. I mean, we, you know, we're all sick, taking drugs. What about my health care? What about opening up the borders? See, but there are millions and millions and millions of us out here, Don, that are awake. We've been awake for a long time. We've watched what's went on. We tried to stop things. I've been battling the chemtrails for over 12 years now. I'm still battling it. I developed something called the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act, and it will stop and forbid them spraying anything into our atmosphere. I want a companion international treatise that will be recognized world globally, as well as the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act. I want a Unified Oceanic Preservation Act. I want them to put no chemicals of any sort into the oceans of the world. None of man's chemicals, including iron filings that's been sprayed with strontium chromate. Yeah, that's what they're dumping down into the oceans by the kajillions of tons to do something with the conveyor belt or whatever. You people, in fact, I just hope I never meet you, because you will, in fact, regret the day that we do meet you. Quit dumping your poisons into the oceans and, in fact, eradicating the whales because of chronic chromium intoxication. This is exactly what it is, Don. I've been in touch with some people down in Australia, and they're very prominent in their research, and one of them is, in fact, very prominent in whale research. And he said, he's put the question out, and I kind of got lured into this thing through this gentleman, Jeff, whatever his last name is, I beg your pardon, I forgot. But he kind of got me, but I, in fact, told him what's going on with this and how chromium, in fact, can get into the whale populace so unbelievably. It stems from little algae form on the bottom, in fact, and these iron filings are sprayed with strontium chromate that goes into the water column as the cation of the chromate itself, which is hexavalent. It, in fact, is taken in the algae form. It's taken up by crustaceans, which are primarily various type of plankton and crustaceans, but plankton for the most part. The plankton ingest this, and it either forms a domoic acid or a glutamic acid, one of the two. They're able to handle it. Then they're, in fact, eaten by krill, amongst other things. And those krill, in fact, have the capacity of having this contaminant on board along with domoic acid. They ingest it. And, in fact, it finds itself into the tissue and the brain, all the oils that they use for navigation. And, in fact, in their brain, whales get Alzheimer's. This is my opinion. They get a toxic form of heavy metal poisoning, which is a form of dementia, just like humans get dementia, because aren't they mammals also?
Mm-hmm.
They get dementia, and, in fact, they, in herds, because they eat the same thing, they'll beach themselves, and they'll go, wow, I wonder why they've done that. Huh. Must be the U.S. Navy with those daggone sonic things. No, no, people. They beached themselves because they didn't know any better at the time because of this dementia that's caused by this stuff they're putting in the oceans. All you have to do is look at the reality of things, and those are the toxic realities of this. And it's those geoengineers, in fact, who intend on killing everything upon this planet, ladies and gentlemen, because they want to terraform it for some other species, and possibly including themselves. Look at who they are. And you welcome these people into your into your communities for have conferences? Who are these people? Well, they report to ones such as Zbigniew Brzezinski. Do that ring a bell? Does Zbigniew Brzezinski, the brain that was responsible and wrote a book to brag about 3.5 million people over in Indochina, and Pol Pot, and he brags about it? That's the man that, in fact, is standing somewhere in control of anything in this nation, including the White House, is a key advisor. One of his daughters, I guess, is on, what, MSNBC?
Mm-hmm.
And his son, I don't know, some I don't know. I don't check on these people. I don't care who they are. I don't care to look at them. I just know that they're obscene in what they're doing. They're obscene. They are part of this mass of minions that just hell-bent on killing at least 90% or more of everything of God's creation that's living on this planet. And I can attest to that just by my battle and research with the chemtrails.
Well, yes.
And that is reality.
Another show, but Dr. Castle, we are out of time. We're going to have to call it a night here. I appreciate your viewpoint, and I'm sure the listening audience does as well. I want to give that address out again for anyone that cares to contribute to this AmeriHAS rescue project of the Gulf of Mexico, where we're going to take it upon ourselves to undo all this insane damage that's being caused in the Gulf of Mexico. You can send your donations to Castle Concepts Dash AmeriHAS, AmeriHAS, at 1933 East Dublin Granville Road, number 171, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. Dr. Castle, I want to thank you for being on tonight's show and let the listening audience know that you will be back again next Tuesday, the 15th of June. So, Thank you very much, Don. And have a great evening.
Yeah, have a great evening. Thank you, Don.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Dr. Michael Castle. You can go to my documents page on directlightproductions.com and read some of Dr. Castle's work. It's also posted in various other places on the internet, but we're out of time tonight, so I'll have to cover that on an upcoming show. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Windtalkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying this show. I want to thank Don Newsom on the sound tonight at bbsradio.com, Don Newsom, and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Our caller, John from Chicago, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.